Hi there, I'm Jeff Frankham and I want to welcome you to our weekly podcast. I also want to let you know that if you wanted to connect with us, we would love to invite you to one of our Sunday services in either Byron Bay or Ballina. Our website has the details. But right now, we trust that you enjoy this podcast, that your faith is enlarged, and that you are challenged to grow in your understanding of Jesus and His church. It's a privilege to have Mark Bilton with us here this morning. He has some serious letters after his name, and he's studied in some serious places. He's internationally recognized in many ways, has a heap of awards. Most recently received the Michael Page Australian Retail Executive Award. I was there on Friday morning. It was a stunning session on Friday morning with Mark with the Pathfinders. And I took copious notes, and it was so relevant and real, not only to all of us, but especially to those business people who went along looking for some inspiration and ideas. Mark particularly has a passion for Christians in business, is the founder of Call to Business, which endeavours to unshackle Christians from the secular sacred divide. I mean, that's pretty cool. When Carol and I became Christians in 1975, we were told Jesus was coming back at any moment. So what use was there being involved in secular stuff, so-called secular stuff? And after about 10 or 15 years, we realised that wasn't the case. And so we actually began to get involved in the world in which we live, which is important. He's also the author of four books, which are available for us afterwards here, including Monday Matters, Finding God in Your Workplace. His current mission is to reframe leadership and humanise the workplace. Fantastic. Please welcome the managing partner of Thought Patrol, Mark Bilton.
Thanks, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. It's great to be here this morning. I've learned something already. Always buy drinks for the band. So I'm going to take something home with me that I can apply in my life and my real world. I like that. That's really great. This morning we're going to talk a little bit about work. And that's not something that you normally talk about in church circles. It's kind of a four-letter word. You know, it's something we sort of run out into the world. We kind of make the most of what we're doing out there, get some money, bring it back into the church. And I've got a different perspective around work, and I want to share some of my experiences. But just to give you a little bit of context, I was a CEO for 20 years, ran six different companies. So my last corporate role was Group MD at Gloria Jean's Coffees, doing a turnaround there. They still make terrible coffee, wasn't able to fix that. But we did some other things and turned around that business. So we went from the banks were in, they were going to close the place down. And within 2 years, we sold the business for $162 million. And that's a miracle right there. I mean, that was just a wild ride. So I ran a bunch of other companies as well over the years, so six different companies. But before I was a CEO, I did actually work for a living. Because CEOs don't really work for a living. They just sort of take all the credit and everyone else does the work, which is awesome. I really enjoyed that. But I did work, as I said, for a living before I became a CEO. And I started my career as a shop assistant in a menswear store in South Auckland on the wrong side of the railway tracks. With a zoology degree. So for young people, that's not career advice, by the way. It makes you just about unemployable if you do a zoology degree. But I had a newfound faith in Jesus. I wasn't raised in the church. My parents weren't Christians. We never went to church at all. I was hounded into the kingdom over a three-year period, a very reluctant convert, brutally assaulted by God. He barged his way into my life somewhat uninvited, and for which I am eternally grateful. I didn't really go after him. He came after me. And so grateful in the mercy and grace of God. And I saw, actually one night I was a very angry young man and was going to commit suicide. But over this three-year period, I had so many people outside of church, still had never been in a church, outside of church that had the courage to take on this angry young man and share the love of God. And so at home, I'd left home at that stage, but the place I was staying, I thought I'm going to either check out or maybe there's something in this God thing. So why don't we try that? And I just asked God into my life. I think I swore as I repented. It was a kind of like a surrender. You know, okay, let's do this. But if you're real, then why don't we? I've got nothing left, so I'm going to give my life to you and let's see what you can do. And so he's taken me on this wild ride. I mean, you don't go from a shop assistant to running multinational companies without God doing, you know, opening doors and giving you unreasonable favor. So everything I have, everything that I do is from, you know, from a loving heavenly Father. So I'm very grateful to God. Within a six-month period after that time, I saw my mom, my dad, and my three brothers all come to Christ. And we were fairly, let's say, moderately dysfunctional. And we were so very split up. But we all had these separate experiences of God and then came together and shared that. So we're a living testimony of the grace and mercy of God. So that's kind of my little bit of my story. But I didn't realize that you were meant to only think about God at church and that the rest of it was kind of something else. So I just kind of went, well, I've given my life to God, which means he should impact my relationships, how I do life, what I work, how I interact with my friends. My whole of life should be impacted by my faith in Jesus Christ. And I believe every believer is in full-time ministry. You know, the moment you get saved, the moment you have that encounter, the moment you give your life to Jesus Christ, you are in full-time ministry. Some of us are called to minister in a church environment. Can we just flick the next one? That'd be great. Some of us are called to minister in a church environment, and some of us are called to minister out in the world. And, you know, that's it's the same kind of ministry. We're called to be co-laborers with God. The Word of God says, as God's co-laborers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, for we are co-workers in God's service, co-workers with him. He doesn't actually need us, but he's chosen to use us as we co-labor with him. I love the story about, you know, in England, I'm from the UK originally, so they have the high-rise buildings, there's no garden, so they have the allotments, they have the little bits of lawn and greenhouses and common areas that you can grow vegetables and do that sort of stuff. And there was a guy who saw that this was all broken down and the greenhouse was broken and nothing was growing in there. It was all full of weeds. So he went and he started tending there and, you know, just got the pots right and planted some seeds and mended the greenhouse and got all those things going and really started to make that area thrive and grow and bear fruit. And a priest who was familiar with how broken things down were, and he walked past there and he saw that this guy had, you know, created all this lovely garden and fruit and things. And he said, isn't it wonderful what you and God have done together, growing this and producing all this? And he said, yeah, you should have seen it when God had it by himself. That sounds slightly sacrilegious, doesn't it? But, you know, God's chosen to use us. If we do nothing, then just weeds will grow in the areas of influence that he places us. And each one of us is anointed and appointed and placed in a specific workplace for a reason and for a purpose. And we need to be very mindful of God wherever he's placed us in that sphere of influence to have an impact. And as you do that and you walk with God wherever he's placed you, you literally build the kingdom of God there. There's a heavenly template for your workplace. There's a heavenly template for your life and the things that you do. And understanding what God is wanting to do and taking those things from heaven and activating them in earth. And, you know, I haven't worked for Christians. I'm talking about in a brutal commercial environment where they don't care about whether you're a Christian. It's about making money. It's about changing organizations. That reality is very much, you're able to operate as a Christian overtly in the marketplace and be effective commercially. You know, the natural, you know, whether in church or at work, then the supernatural should be natural to us. The supernatural should be natural to us. That's a good word right there, I think. Don't you think that's a good word? I think that's a good word because we tend to think about supernatural things and the experiences of God in a church context and not in our workplace. And yet we should walk and experience those things as much on a Tuesday afternoon as we should on a Sunday morning. You know, work is God's idea. Even before the fall, God got Adam and Eve to work in the garden. In Genesis, it says that the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and take care of it. So work, this is before the fall, this is before sin. So in the perfect environment, we had work, which is kind of bad news, which means, you know, heaven, it's going to be work to do up there. We're not sitting on clouds like little fat cherubs. Slinging arrows. There's actually things to do. It'll be very, you know, a physical kind of environment because it's part of God's plan. It's part of his nature. Work is an intrinsically good thing in its own right without producing enough money to give to missionaries. The work itself is a good thing. Money is a good thing. you know, in the hands of the right people. It's a neutral tool, but in the hands of the men and women of God, building the kingdom of God, it's a great thing. There's things you can do with money you can't do without. And so profit's a good thing if you're in business or you're leading a company. Profit is a great thing. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be, it says in Psalm 139. All the days. Your Tuesday. God has a plan and purpose for your Tuesday as much as your Monday. We're to do all things for the glory of God. Whatever your task at work, work heartily for the Lord and not for men. So on your Tuesday afternoon, on your Thursday morning, whatever it is you're doing, no matter how mundane it might be, no matter how seemingly secular it might be, God has a plan and a purpose for that. You can be aware of his presence in the midst of those things. Mark Green from the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity has a great metaphor. And he talks about, we often think of life like an orange, where it's segmented. We've gone, okay, church, yep, that's a God thing. Put that over there. That's that segment. Youth group, yeah, that's a God thing. Let's put that over there. Most of the time it is. I've been around long enough in church circles. So now, home group, that's a church thing. So that's a God thing. He's interested in that. But maybe work, no, he's probably not interested in that. Sports team I play with, he's maybe not interested in that. And so we've created this sort of segmentation. Some things God's interested in, some things are not. And what Mark says is that we shouldn't think of it like an orange. We should think of it like a peach. Well, there's a full integration of the experience of God. He's interested in all the aspects of our life and much more like a peach than an orange. No segmentation. A whole of life experience where he can impact us and guide us and lead us. We can experience his presence even, as I said, in the mundane. Each one of us should retain the place in life that the Lord has assigned to us and to which he's called us. It says in 1 Corinthians, you know, he has an assignment for us. He's called us. If you're a taxi driver and you get saved, don't become a pastor. Stay a taxi driver. Be God's taxi driver. Lead people to Christ in your taxi. Work with excellence and integrity in your taxi. Whatever it is, whatever God has built you for, he has a plan and a sacred calling for you. The Word of God says that you're assigned there, called there. Retain that place and activate your faith in the environment that he's placed you. You know, so we've created this sort of artificial hierarchy of sacred calling. So, you know, if this pulpit is really holy, and down there that's not, you know, medium holy, very unholy down here somewhere. You know, this is Jeff's up here, right? So he's, you know, yeah, Santi, these guys. But the priests and the pastors and the ministers, we've said, this is where they sit. It's a holy calling. It's up here. And then we've said, you know, below that maybe there's people who help people. So teachers, you know, doctors, nurses, that's probably just slightly less holy down here somewhere. And then, you know, well, the lawyers and the accountants, I mean, they're right down here somewhere, aren't they? Right down there somewhere. Change management CEOs, they're right on the bottom of the shoe, actually. They're right down here like that. You know, and then the rest of us are kind of in between, in the middle there somewhere. And that we've created that hierarchy, and it's not true. The most sacred thing you can do, the best thing that you can do, the holiest thing you can do is do what God has called you to do. Whatever it is, whether you're a taxi driver, a plumber, or a priest, it doesn't matter. You're uniquely created. You have a set of gifts and talents and abilities. You're wired and built by a loving creator for a specific purpose. And that's the most sacred thing you can do, is to operate in the area that God has given us. And so we have a lane, we have a channel that when we're aligned with our purpose and our abilities and our capabilities, then that's our lane. That's where God will provide for us in that. And that's where we'll be effective when we stay in that lane. And we sometimes start looking at other people's lanes and going, gee, I wish I was in that lane or I was in this lane. But your lane, the lane that he has for you, that's where you should be. And when comparison starts, that's when contentment ends. Be content with where he's placed you and what he's done. Operate well with excellence and integrity in those things. So work is God's idea. So let's go through a few things, other things about work and why work is important to God. You know, obviously work, we work to provide. We make money, we go out to work and we make money. And God is able to make some grace abound to most of us so that on occasional times, having almost everything we need, we will do the occasional good work. I'm not quite sure that's what it says. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That's a high bar. It's a high bar. If you're not experiencing it, that is God's will for your life. Go after that. Go after that. His provision in your lane for everything that you need in your lane, He will provide, and in so that you can abound in every good work. You know, money is neutral, and I think it comes in two forms. It comes in seed and bread. Bread for us, to bless us, bless our families, to use, to bless us. He's a lovingly heavenly Father. You know, we know how to give good gifts to our children. He knows how to bless us and those things, bread. And He gives us seed. Seed to plant for a future harvest for us. Seed to plant for a future harvest for other people. To sow into the kingdom of God. To sow into churches and missions and help people and do all those things. Sometimes we eat the seed. And if you eat someone else's seed, you're actually eating their future harvest. So that's an encouraging word this morning. I just like to think of it like that because it makes me think. Is this bread or seed? And the reverse of that is sometimes, people are giving away so much that they're giving away bread. And if you sow bread, you just get moldy bread. There's no harvest. There's no harvest in that. So hearing from God, consuming that which He's asked you to consume to bless you and your family, and giving away and being generous and buying drinks for the band and all that sort of stuff, you know? I love that. That was great. I'm going to hang on to that one. But there's seed out there, and He gives us that and provides for us that we can steward things from an eternal perspective. And everything we have is not just 10%. It's 100%. It's 100%. Everything that we have is from God. Everything that we own is His, and we're called to steward that, and there's an accountability that goes to that. You know, we're not judged on sin, but we will be judged on what we do with that which He's given us, and we'll be asked to give an account for those things. So we work to provide. We also work to grow. I don't know about you, but the workplaces I've been involved with, it's not all sweet and light. You know, we're not all sitting around in circles singing Kumbaya. They can be quite testy, difficult environments. And I think God uses those things to help transform us into His likeness. And they can do damage if we don't think about God in a work context. If we understand that God has called you and me to certain places, and there's difficult circumstances in the midst of that, we can take those things with confidence to Him say, Lord, you know, what's going on here? How do I react to this? How do I respond to those things? You know, I had to step down from a board last year, which is a great board, big international company, traveling in a direction that was really concerning me as far as my integrity and ethics. And it's the easiest thing you can do is just not say something and keep getting that. It was a particularly large check, which was nice. But there was something in me that was going, oh, I could just not say something here, or I could make a stand for what is right. And, you know, I've been on boards that have been, you know, difficult, but they're heading in the right direction. You work through with people and you do operate with grace and mercy as long as things are heading in the right direction. And this was getting worse, and I had to make a stand and then make a stand again. And then eventually I had to resign from the board, which I've never had to do before. And it was a challenge. I found it quite challenging to do that. I've often seen things turn and change. It's been part of my ministry. But this was not going to turn and change. So I had to make a stand. And ultimately, other people from the board, once I'd made that stand, also left and, you know, moved and things moved on. And sometimes we have to shift and change. You know, God's main concern is our character, not our convenience. It's our character and not prosperity. He wants to move us and shape us. The best analogy is the one that Jesus gave, or the best metaphor is one that Jesus gave, which would make sense, I guess. About the branch, the branch and the vine. You know, He is the vine, we're the branch, and if we're grafted in, if we're connected to the vine, then as a branch we will grow fruit. And you don't have to claim the fruit. You don't have to shout for the fruit to manifest. You just have to stay connected. If you're connected to Jesus, you will bear fruit, physical fruit, spiritual fruit. You'll be effective in the area of influence that He's got you. If you are not connected to Him, You can shout and claim all you like. There's no fruit. It's literally as simple as that. And so the basis of any effective ministry, whether you're in the church or whether you're out of the marketplace, is being connected to Him on that relationship with Him. You're going to adjust something, are you? Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Go about your day normally, please.
Thank you very much. Crackle bang. That's all right.
Nothing to see here.
No, I'm being adjusted. Thank you. So staying plugged into the vine, you know, that relationship we have with Jesus, that's where the fruit's going to come from. And it's the only way that you're going to get fruit. So how do we respond to these changes as we're being shaped and molded? I think Romans 12:1 for me really encapsulates how do you respond to life as it shapes you and molds you and these pressures come. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. We yield to God, yield our bodies to God, and surrender to Him in a work environment. Lord, whatever you want to do, I'm just here for you. I just want to do what you want me to do. And do not conform to the pattern of the world. His ways are not our ways. And I've seen the most ridiculous things turn around as I've chosen to do things God's way rather than the world's way. And as we don't conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by that renewing of our mind, changing how we think about things through the Word of God, then we can test and approve what God's will is. Then we can understand what it is. And we can begin to operate and be effective for building the kingdom of God. We work to witness as well. You know, there's a lot of people that just will never come into a church. It's hard to drag someone into a foreign environment where they're the minority and they don't know whether to sit up or stand down. It's uncomfortable. And we should do that. It's part of, you know, what we do. I'm plugged into a local church. Love the local church. But more and more, it's harder and harder to get people in. So there's going to be more and more responsibility on us being out there talking to those around us. And we're surrounded often by people who aren't Christians, who don't have a faith, who don't follow Jesus in our day-to-day world. So each of us has a responsibility to reach out. Billy Graham, who you could argue knows a thing or two about evangelism, said the next great move of God will be through the marketplace, through the workplace. And I really believe that. And part of a motivation of what I'm trying to do is help people connect God and faith and their experience of God in the marketplace, in the workplace. Because if you do that, you'll start to see the opportunities to reach out to those around us. You know, we live in a post-Christian environment, and we need to be much more like ambassadors and churches like embassies to reach out and connect with society in a positive way. And often it's about having an eternal perspective, I think. The consequences of the people around you not hearing about Jesus are just too difficult to even think about sometimes. But we don't go to work to witness. In the same way, I really am uncomfortable with this whole friendship evangelism. It kind of comes with an agenda. It's the same with work. Have a friend, and then you'll get an opportunity to share your life, share some of your experiences and share Jesus with them. The same when you go to work. Don't go to work to witness. Go to work in excellence and integrity and align yourself with the culture and the purpose and the whatever that's happening in that organization and be valuable to that organization. And the opportunities to reach out to those around you will be there. It's an outcome as opposed to a process. So we need to sort of kind of dump our religious agendas. Don't turn up to morning tea with the 4-kilo Bible and, you know, start. It's just not, building walls and throwing rocks is not an appropriate way of dealing with this whole issue. You know, we need to, can we agree on something? Can we stop being weird? Would that be all right? But that'd be great. That'd be great. Because, you know, I see some Christians in business and I'm walking on the other side of the road going, you know, there's a key in this. Jesus only did what he saw his Father doing. And so having the discernment to understand where there's an opportunity to share and the times where You just have to hold off. Otherwise, you'll spend all your time in front of the HR manager and you'll probably get fired. So, you know, sometimes you've got to do that. That's all right. But most of the time, there's some wisdom and just discerning what God's doing and being aware of his presence every day. You know, he loves those people around you more than you do. He's more interested in you witnessing than you are. He will give you those opportunities. I remember sitting on a plane once. And, you know, it's that last bastion where there's no email, there's no, you know, you just got peace and quiet and it's great. You can pop the headphones on and watch some of Hollywood's finest, you know, get all worldly, it's great. And I was just in one of those things where I don't want to talk to anybody. I just want to zone out for a few hours. I was on the way to Hong Kong. I just want to sit. There's a guy sitting next to me and, hey, how you going? Good. Chunk. Right. Okay, and there's something in me that goes, you need to talk to this guy next door. And I go, oh, Lord, no. Now, really? Do we have to do it now? You need to talk to this guy. Okay, all right. So, hey, you know, how are you going? I actually asked him, so where are you going? Which is a pretty silly question when you're strapped to a large aircraft. He's probably going to the same place you are, you know. You're not going somewhere else. But anyway, so despite the fact that he thought I was a slightly crazy guy, we started talking and having a dialogue. It turned out he was an incredibly wealthy, independently wealthy guy. He was Chinese. He was gay. And he was a Buddhist. So we had a lot in common. You can't go to your Christian bookshop and say, can I have the rich Chinese gay Buddhist how to reach on an airplane in 4 easy steps manual, please? It doesn't sort of work like that. And the chances of him going to church are probably less than 50%. Probably like, no, he's just not going to go there, is he? He's not. He's never going to walk into a church. And yet he was going through something in his life. He had had a long-term partner he'd broken up with. He was, you know, hurting and he wanted to talk. And we ended up talking. I was able to share the gospel with him and share the love of God with him. It was an unusual encounter, and I'd love to say that he got into the aisle onto his knees and gave his life to the Lord. And I've seen people do that at work circumstances, give their life to the Lord. But with him, I think it's a good example because there is no way he would actually come into a church ever. And yet, God was interested in him. God prompted me to speak to him, and the words and the way the whole thing worked. I mean, I just shared the love of God with him. And he responded really well to that. He was really interested in the whole thing. And so I believe I will see that man in heaven because God was working on his life, working on his soul. And, you know, we need to be open to those things regardless of how different people are. And we get those opportunities in work in the way we don't get in church often. And our Christian life should be attractive. We should be in our workplace. We should be the overcomers, the creatives. We should have the ideas. We should work with excellence and integrity and diligence and trustworthy. We shouldn't be the gossips. We shouldn't be the lazy ones. We should be an example of an attractive, transformed life because people will then ask the question, what is it with you? What is it? What's this, you know, Jesus stuff? I bumped into a guy the other day, 60 years old, super intellectual guy, university guy. I'd met him once before very briefly. He was from New Zealand. He was over here and we caught up and had a coffee. He said, oh, you know, I really like what you do around the whole transformation business stuff. That's awesome. But what's this other thing you do? And I said, oh, you know, I try and encourage Christians to work with excellence and integrity because they generally don't. And he goes, oh, yeah, that's true. I know some of those. Oh, yeah. So anyway, we had a bit of a chat about that. And he said, oh, have you always been a Christian? I said, you know, no. I had some experiences in my early 20s that kind of really challenged my worldview. He goes, oh, what were those? I said, okay. So we had this conversation and I shared some of the things that had happened to me. And he was fascinated by this. 60 years old, never heard the gospel. Didn't go to church. You know, we sometimes think people know, they don't. And we have an obligation to talk to them. Very interested, not interested in an institutionalized religion, interested in who Jesus claimed to be, and you could have a relationship and experience with him, with joy and with peace, a sense of purpose and direction, and a transformed life out of that. And he loved that. And so we've set him up with a couple of books. He emailed me back, next time in New Zealand, I need to know more about this. Come and talk to me. You know, there's people are hungry. We have this aggressive secularism that we see, but underneath that, people are hungry for a genuine relationship with a loving Heavenly Father, hungry for those things that are spiritual. And we have influence at work, and we should do that. We work to serve, which is actually probably not my strong suit, actually, to be fair. But Jesus is our example. What do you, amen, Dan? It's my wife at the front. Amen. Yeah, he doesn't serve. Yeah, he's loading the dishwasher tonight. It's not Dad. He's gone off doing something else. Yeah. Thanks for that. She's great. I married well, by the way, actually. I married well above myself, so God has been very gracious to me in that department. So she told me to tell you that. But, you know, lost my train of thought completely now. But, you know, Jesus is our example in how to serve. You know, he went the extra mile. He taught about the extra mile, which was so revolutionary in its day. He was the King of Kings, yet the servant of all. He served with the heart of a king and yet rules with the heart of a servant. I mean, that's the essence of how we should serve those around us. You know, going that extra mile. And it's our attitude often, I think, that drives that whether we serve people or not. What's our attitude? You know, this is the day the Lord has made, and I will remain grumpy until it changes. No, we're to rejoice in every day. God gives us every day. You know, wake up in the morning and, you know, good morning, God, rather than good God, it's morning. And I'm not a morning person, so I wrestle with that a little bit. But going the extra mile to serve those around us is part of our witness and our testimony and part of what we're called to do. And we work to create. There's something in us that is highly creative, and we do well when we create. And it's, you know, we have an incredible opportunity when we spend time with God. Now, this morning, if Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Rupert Murdoch, and Steve Jobs were coming here, from whoever your business kind of heroes were coming here, we'd probably have a few more chairs. People kind of trying to come in. And getting Steve Jobs would be hard because you have to raise him from the dead and then ring him, but it might cause some interest. But, you know, we'd have a lot of people really wanting to hear from those guys because they're wise and they've done some great things, and people want to hear those things. And yet we have the opportunity to daily spend time with the Almighty Creator, who knows absolutely everybody, who can give you unmerited favor, unreasonable advantage. We as Christians in our workplaces, we are the most powerful people in the building. We can bring heaven to earth. We can have insights other people haven't got. We can be creative in ways that other people can't. It's an extraordinary resource, and we tap this much. And the potential, you know, you ain't seen nothing yet. You know, it's there is a level of experience of God that we are not operating in yet, and we need to operate in that. There's a guy called Matthews who was an itinerant preacher, and his hobby was making bows. And he asked God, he said, God, show me, I want to make a better bow, because we have to, one of those big compound bows, you know, with the adjustable wheels, they had to be adjusted all the time. And God gave him a dream, and in that dream, he saw literally a design for a new bow, a new design. He went, oh, wow, okay, that's great. He patented that. It was a very simple way of doing it with a single cog as opposed to the dual cogs. So the Matthews Bow Company is still the largest bow company in the world. And this was 40 years ago. One idea, one piece of creativity, one download from heaven, and he's the most successful company in his area. And they've continued to have innovation and ideas from heaven that has driven that business, and it remains the largest one in the world, the Matthews Bow Company. And ultimately, we're called to work to worship. You know, whatever you do, work with it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for masters. There's a Hebrew word, avodah, that it means two things. It means work and service, and it also means worship. So in the Hebrew world, those things were completely integrated, and we've separated them out with our sort of Greek thinking, where we've popped those two things out and said, this is secular, this is sacred. You know, and that one word means work and worship. Work can be worshipful. And just as you came in this morning and you opened your heart up to God and you worshipped him, you know that, you know what I mean by worship? That sense of openness and to him and his experience, we can work with that heart position. I've been in lots of meetings where things are going horribly wrong and just gone, Lord, I just want to be aware of your presence in my heart. Just position my heart into that worshipful position. And atmospheres actually change, and those meetings start to go horribly right, and people start agreeing with you for no particular good reason, and which is great. I love that. Teamwork is when, you know, you all agree with me. That's how it works. But you know, it's the supernatural should be natural to us. We should operate like that. We should expect the favor of God. The same. Remember the chart here. The same kit bag you expect for pastors and missionaries and priests, we should see the same as well. Even the lawyers and the accountants should experience the same as we'd expect a pastor or a missionary to experience. You know, the sense of direction of God's calling and purpose, of ideas, of insights and favor, and all those things should be part of our everyday walk. So how do we work this out? For me, it's really being connected to Jesus. You know, if we have that piece right, if we have people around us who we're accountable to, if we're plugged into a local church, if we're surrendered to him, we pray and we have intimacy with him, and we recognize that he has a plan and purpose for our life that impacts us in the workplace, you'll naturally bring this fruit. You'll naturally have an impact in the sphere of influence that you're in. So if we engage God in our personal work life, he will unlock our potential. These works are evidence of the faith that's within us. And if you apply these principles, you're literally building his kingdom. You're bringing heaven to earth. So remember, you're hand-created by a loving creator. You're anointed and appointed and placed in your area of influence for a reason. So just remember this one thing: Monday matters to God. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. If you'd like to know more information about our church, please don't hesitate to visit us at www.c3byronbayballina.com. We hope you have a great week, and until next time, thanks for listening.